Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 54. I'm Jerry Iverson with my guest, Paul Canavesi of the Pastoral Center, gospelliving.org, and Growing Up Catholic. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue after the interview. If Paul's name is familiar, it may be because he was a guest in episode 30 when we talked about the Pastoral Center and gospelliving.org. I've put links to those sites in the show notes. I met Paul and Anne on a speaking tour of California several years ago. They hosted me in their Bay Area home and later contributed their marriage vows to our collection Wedding Alternatives. Paul came to our rescue when our colleague site, Jubilee One Earth Economics, was hacked in February of 2014. As an internet security expert, he helped us secure the site and get back in business instead of worrying about hackers. I was eager to talk to Paul about Pope Francis' recent encyclical Laudate Si and about the Pope's visit to the U.S. Paul is a friend of Alternatives, now Simple Living Works, and head of the Pastoral Center that publishes and distributes religious educational resources, some of which incorporate content from Alternatives. He is preparing some new resources around the Pope's encyclical. Because of the newsworthiness of the Pope's visit to the U.S. and its relevance to both of our organizations, we are publishing Paul's interview simultaneously on both the Common Good podcast and Simple Living Works podcast.
Paul, we've seen the media circus around Pope Francis' visit. In fact, we're recording this on his last day in the United States. I want to give you the chance, though, to just emote a little bit about something that was just earth-shattering for you that he has said or done during his visit. And then, on the other hand, maybe if there was something that you were disappointed about in his visit, as before we get into the specifics.
Okay. Well, I guess I would say that Pope Francis is a pretty consistent guy. So I haven't been surprised either way about really what's happened during his visit. He's been talking about a lot of these different issues which he sees as being very interconnected. And so him coming to the U.S. and speaking before Congress and before the U.N. and meeting with folks here and this gathering with the World Meeting of Families, it's really an opportunity for him in to kind of directly bring out these same issues that he's been talking about and writing about for a while. So it's exciting for everyone to start noticing it and to be hearing about it in the normal media here. But what he's talking about is the same exciting message that we've been hearing throughout his papacy so far. So I'm excited to talk about some of those specific things, particularly because now there's kind of a renewed interest around them.
Well, let's take the first one then. What we would call alternative economics. I mean, the Pope has spoke about income inequality. He has lobbied very strongly for the poor, both in his lifestyle and in more specifics. So let's take that one first.
Okay. Well, gosh, this is a topic that he's covered quite a bit in Laudato Si, or On Care for Our Common Home. So that's probably where he's treated it most in depth. And again, for anything like this, for any topic like this, he sees it very interconnected to other aspects. So we'll also talk about the creation crisis, where he sees this as very connected into that. He sees it very connected into just the poor and what they're going through and what they need. But he kind of steps back in his most recent encyclical and says that we as a society need to think about what's really important to us, that we need to redefine progress, and that this is so key when we start talking about economics, right? And so he says that, we can't trust the economy, that the goals of the economy are not connected to quality of life or what's best for people in general. So we need to start having conversations about what we really want. Do we have a moral grounding in the kind of decisions that are made when so much is driven by technology or businesses or money or politics. So he's saying we need to step back and we need to talk about our global priorities and the world that we want to be leaving for our children. So he's talking about alternative economics in this kind of context. And he's not doing so much as giving a lot of very specific mandates of this is the way it should be. But he's really calling, he's very consistent on this, where he's calling us to dialogue. And he talks a lot about dialogue, the need for honest, open debate about these issues, the need for transparency, the need for seeking consensus on these issues. And again, you know, asking, well, what do we really want our priorities to be instead of letting the economy and all these other kind of factors that sort of move on their own make those decisions for us?
So you wouldn't say that Pope Francis is really anti-growth or even anti-capitalism?
No, I wouldn't say that. And he's said some things very specifically about, no, you know, some people are saying that I'm against capitalism. You know, that's not the case. But he's questioning and he's asking us to question. And he's saying that a lot of the assumptions that we have that say, I mean, he does question growth. And he says, you know, just kind of us making the assumption that that growth is always the best thing is not necessarily the case, and that we really need to question that and think about that and say, you know, growth isn't what's good. What we have to be asking, what's good for people in general, and to be thoughtful about that and to talk about that.
And he is referring not only to governments and individuals, but he is referring also to corporations.
That's correct. And he's addressing it to all people and all organizations. And also, to be clear, this is a letter not just to the Catholic Church. It's a letter to the world. He is addressing the world and all of us. So he's really asking for dialogue across a lot of different divides. And he makes a case in the document for particularly toward Christians in saying that, you know, as Christians, we have particular responsibilities around these areas because of what the Bible says, because of what our beliefs are. But the document as a whole is not written only to Christians, but it's really written to everyone.
Let's move on then to the second topic that's especially pertinent for this podcast, and that is creation crisis. Now, this seems to be really important, and this has come up time and time again in his talks, what people call climate change, which I find terribly understated. We think of this really as creation crisis.
Right, and he also addresses it in a very broad way. So he does address climate change, and he references it, but it's actually a very small part of the document. Which you wouldn't necessarily think from what's been covered in the mainstream media around it. Now, he does say that this is an important issue and that there's very solid scientific consensus, which gets some people worked up when they hear someone say that. But what he's really talking about is he's saying the Earth is our common home. It's a shared inheritance for all of us, and it's that we need to care for it for future generations as well as current generations. And he's saying that there's just this immense crisis that has been becoming worse and worse, and it's all kinds of different ways. So it's pollution and waste that he talks about. He looks at water and other natural resources and scarcity of clean water. He talks quite a bit about the loss of biodiversity and what's happening there. But he also connects this very clearly and very intentionally to society also being in crisis, and that the connection between the crises we find in society and the crises that we find in nature is a very important one, and that we need to understand this connection. And so when nature is in crisis and there's environmental degradation, the poor suffer the most from that crisis. But there are also other things that we see, decline in the quality of life in general that come from this crisis, and breakdowns of society in different ways. And he talks about other things that our topics we're familiar with if we've been involved in the voluntary simplicity movement, like how media and technology affect us. And so what he's doing is he's kind of looking at where is our whole common home, both as a society and as nature all together, where are we going? And is this a direction we really want to be going in? And he's calling us to think about that and to talk about that and to recognize the connection.
Now, a lot of folks include in the creation crisis overpopulation, that we have more humans on the earth than the earth can sustain. Does the Pope get into overpopulation at all?
What he's mostly talking about in the document is that he's talking about how resources are not distributed fairly across everyone who should have the inheritance of this earth, which is a gift from God. So he's saying, you know, that there's this abundant creation and there's this abundant gift that we've been given, and he talks about it from a scriptural perspective. And he's talking about how it's not being shared in this equal way as God would want us to share it. So that's really more of the problem than there's enough for everyone if we help get it to everyone and it's not hoarded by particular people or particular countries or particular organizations or businesses and on and on.
Now, the Pope is a sterling example of a simpler lifestyle. You know, even the vehicle he uses, his apartments and taking Syrian refugees into his apartments at the Vatican, that kind of thing. So he's a sterling example of voluntary simplicity. Are there references in the document or in his speeches in the U.S. to voluntary simplicity and specifics, not just a generalized idea of living more simply?
Sure, there certainly are. There are a number of specifics in the document, and he talks explicitly about voluntary simplicity, which is, I think, exciting for many of us who have been doing work around this for a while. And for folks who might be interested in this, so the document itself on care for our common home, it's around 40,000 words. It's a long document. So it's a very accessible document, even more so than most other papal documents. If you've looked at them before, they can be a hard slog if you're just trying to get in there and start reading them. So this one's easier to get into, and I encourage people to read the document. It's free online. You can get it off the Vatican website and take a look. If you're particularly interested in voluntary simplicity, I would point you to the document is organized where the paragraphs are numbered. So I would point you to the paragraphs 203 through 227, where he speaks most specifically about voluntary simplicity. So I'll just talk about some of the particulars here, but again, there's a lot in the document. I can't cover all of what he says about this, but he talks about seeing and appreciating beauty and beginning in thanksgiving and gratitude and appreciation. And then he also talks about moving toward a new lifestyle. So he actually uses the term less is more in the document itself. And he talks about how we need to move toward a lifestyle based on moderation and discovering happiness in little and prioritizing relationships and living within limits. And he talks about the importance of instilling new habits. And he says that little actions can make a difference and they can have effects beyond what we might see or what might be obvious, but that we also need to look at changes that have bigger impacts. So we need to do both, do the little everyday actions, and we need to look at the bigger impact of what do we need to do that is going to have an effect on what's been going on, the crisis in creation. But he talks very enthusiastically about how living simply is a better way to live. It's good for us. It's a better quality of life. It's greater freedom and happiness and peacefulness that we can get out of this kind of a lifestyle. So it's exciting to really have this in an official document from the Catholic Church. So he also talks about living within healthy limits, and he talks about limiting what we want. So he says that he actually compares this this constant desire for more that we have kind of ingrained in our society to intoxication or addiction. And he says that we need to look about this this desire piece and look at what really makes us happy instead of what we're always looking for, that next new thing or the better thing, or, you know, chasing something that we don't have. So he talks about limiting what we want, and he talks about limiting what we consume and using less so that there's enough for everyone, and being smart about what we do use. And he talks about limiting what we do as well. So this is the time aspect, and making room for Sabbath in terms of a Jewish or Christian perspective or language, and setting healthy limits on our work and activities. So he talks about that a little bit too. And then in terms of these little daily actions, he points out some real specifics, and he talks about using less resources and not wasting food, he addresses specifically. He talks about recycling and reusing, caring for other living creatures, using public transit and carpools, and spending and consuming less. So there are some real specifics in there, and as you said, he walks the walk. So these are the kinds of things that he's doing in his own life as well, but he's encouraging us to think about how what specific actions that we can take. So in a nutshell, or a relatively brief way, that's kind of how he addresses it. And of course, he talks about the much broader perspective, and he talks about some of these issues throughout the document. But then toward the end, he talks in this section about some of the specifics there.
Well, we have a challenge in front of us then. We represent three small organizations. You represent the Pastoral Center, mm-hmm. as well as Gospel Living and Growing Up Catholic. Mm-hmm. I represent Simple Living Works. Lee represents Jubilee Economics and the One Earth Project. So tell us, how are we going to keep this wonderful momentum going? We as little organizations, and specifically your organization, is going to keep this momentum going that the Pope has energized.
Right. So I can speak, of course, most about my organization, how we see our role in trying to keep something like this going. But it's very parallel to the work that that other organizations like your own are trying to do as well. So let me just tell you a little bit about what we're doing and how we're trying to help folks put this into action. So the Pastoral Center is, we're a little company that is focused on the Catholic pastoral space. So we mostly work with Catholic parishes and schools. We work with the leaders, and we try to create and provide resources that help them to bring messages like this to their own communities and bring it to the people in the pews or to the students who are in the seats, if you will. And so so whenever something like this happens, like this encyclical comes out, we step back and say, well, what are the tools that we can, that will help folks the most in a practical sense, to start talking about this, to have the dialogue, to inform their members about what the Pope is saying, because not everyone is going to pick up the 40,000-page document and read all of it. And even if you do, then the question is, what are the next steps from there? So these are the kinds of things. We put together a whole group of resources. We created a website that has all of them, where you can learn about them, and it's CatholicCreationCare.com. So that's an easy place to go and kind of discover it all in one place. But let me just mention, just to give some ideas, because I think this helps all of us as leaders, whether we're in an organization helping other organizations, or if you're, say, leading a faith community, or you know, just have a small group of friends where you want to talk about these sorts of things. So one thing we have is just a little pamphlet that's a group reading guide for the document. It has a little summary of the of what the Pope said and questions for folks to talk about it. We also put together a PowerPoint presentation. So if you want to present to a group with some slides with beautiful photos and you know, a summary of what the document says, you can just buy this PowerPoint already set up for you that you can give to a group of folks. We also have a little document called Open Hearts, Open Minds that talks about how do you work together on with other folks moving toward creation care, some of the things the Pope is asking us to do when some disagree, when they might disagree about some aspects of climate change or they might disagree with some of the specifics. How do you work for that? Work with that, because communities, we don't all think the same. Another thing that we're really excited about is that we just put together a Creation Care Kids curriculum and music collection. So it comes with these handouts. It comes with leader notes so that you can teach kids about the kind of topics that the Pope is talking about and, you know, the broader topics of creation care. And it connects it with a scriptural basis, activities, those sort of things. And we have a music collection with songs that just make a great connection. A lot of this is really the basics of simple living and voluntary simplicity that I think many of us are very familiar with. So this is a great opportunity for us to teach not only kids, but also bring adults into this. And into thinking about moving from an understanding of what the crisis is to what we can do practically. And then just to mention a couple other things, we have a resource called The Joy of Just Living for targeted toward adults, for steps for living more sustainably and simply and in connection with the poor. And we have some other resources there as well. But the idea of what we're trying to do is we're trying to provide affordable resources, many of them are reproducible, that you can just take if you're in a situation where you want to do something more, especially if you're leading a faith community and especially if it's a Catholic faith community, since that's our particular focus. We want to help give you resources to make it easy for you to lead your people in dialogue around this. And so that's what we see as our mission. And I think that's a lot of what you're trying to do as well in the other organizations that you mentioned.
Now, your spouse, Ann Nafziger, also has training in theology and has been teaching. Is she involved? I think she's involved with the Growing Up Catholic website. Tell me about her involvement.
Well, she's certainly involved in the organization as well, and she does writing for us. She helped with this Creation Care curriculum some. We also are Growing Up Catholic ministry is really around, I mean, this connects to what the Pope is doing in Philadelphia and finishing up with today, which is, from a Catholic perspective, it's how do we support families in passing on the faith to their children, and how do we engage parents in the process so they're the ones who are talking to their kids about faith. We have a little bit of a problem in our denomination within the Catholic Church where it's the passing on faith to the next generation. It's kind of turned into classes that has been institutionalized, and parents have been have kind of stepped back from the process and think that, oh, well, I just kind of drop off my kids to a Sunday school class and they take care of that. So what we're trying to do is really bring parents into the process, and that's a big aspect of how Anne's been involved in terms of helping us with those resources. And I'll mention one other thing, because this is something else that is big on Pope Francis's agenda, is he has declared a Jubilee Year of Mercy beginning in December of this year. And so he's asking the whole Catholic Church to focus on God's mercy and how we can be cooperating with and with that mercy and showing mercy to others. So we're going to have a lot of focus on that coming up. And so we have some small group book or rather an Advent and Lent booklet that Anne has written around this to help people go day by day through this, through the seasons, and connect to this theme of mercy. That's going to be our focus. And there's other things that she's worked on as well. But thank you for bringing her up. Of course, I'm so grateful that she's able to be part of this too.
Well, now I imagine, you know, with the Pope's visit, your mind is just exploding with other ideas. So give us some feel about what Paul and your organizations are planning on for the near future and maybe a little more of the distant future.
Well, gosh, there's we certainly have our hands full, and with it, as you can imagine, with Pope Francis and as active as he has been, and with all of the topics that he's bringing up and bringing to our attention, it has kept us very busy as an organization that is trying to help interpret and give tools to support what he's calling for from us. So. You know, our focus so much for this next year is really on mercy and on bringing this encyclical into play within parishes. So we're trying to keep a lot of our focus on that. We do have some other resources that are coming out on those topics. So we're going to try to stay focused there, largely because that's what the leaders are within our churches are really looking into. One thing that we're hoping to do is to take this Creation Care Kids curriculum and create a vacation Bible school version of this to reach even more kids and communities. So that's something that's on our docket for the short term that we're hoping to do. And we may even try to find a way to have an ecumenical edition of those resources for kids in creation care. So we're talking to some folks around that, and we'll see if that pans out. That could be a nice addition to what we offer.
As you might well remember, Alternatives put out a Vacation Bible School curriculum called The Good Life, based on the five life standards of living more with less. So you're welcome to steal from that if you like. That had a musical CD that went on along with it as well.
Yeah, I'll take a look back at that too. Well, I'll just say the one thing that we haven't covered that is a big part of what Pope Francis's message has been and continues to be, because we keep hearing pieces of it, like when he's come and is speaking. And his first major document that he wrote just on his own was called The Joy of the Gospel. And so it's important to mention that, of course, he's coming with a very central part of, very big part of his focus is his great concern for the poor, which we've mentioned already. But he's also calling the Catholic Church to be a church that goes out to the margins and steps out of our safe places to go and find those people who we need to serve, and to be less about, you know, to not be thinking about the boundaries of or staying inside our church walls, but to really be going out and reaching out to those in need. So that's the overall context for everything that he's talking about, whether it's creation care and the connection to people and how that affects people, as well as this year of mercy is very much about going outside of ourselves and serving. And so that's an important thing to say in terms of understanding Pope Francis and what he's calling us to.
You've been listening to my conversation with Pope Francis watcher Paul Canavesi. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com or on our Facebook page or on the Simple Living Works blog. Those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org. Click window number 3. That's an encouraging response. In September, I received this note. May I interview you for the Lutheran magazine, please? Hi, I'm a freelance writer for the Lutheran magazine, working on a story about how we can simplify Christmas and live more sustainably during Advent. My editor gave me your name, wondering if we might talk by phone for 30 minutes or so in the next week. Thank you very much, Wendy Healy. Well, after the interview, I sent Wendy two summary statements, as she requested, and you may want to think about the one that is most meaningful to you. First, a simpler Christmas can lead us to discover year-round voluntary simplicity of challenging consumerism, living justly, and celebrating responsibly. Or, year-round voluntary simplicity, challenging consumerism, living justly, and celebrating responsibly, culminates in a simpler Christmas. Wendy then replied, "Thanks so much. You're very good at this. Thank you, Wendy." A little later, I received, in regard to my Simple Living Works Weekly Digest, from Carol Christ, "Thanks for spreading hope and challenging us at the same time." The classic Advent Christmas resource, Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?, 2010, was the last edition distributed on paper. Since then, I have published it on the internet. Whose Birthday is available in multiple formats in 2015 to meet your personal, family, and community needs. First, Whose Birthday number 27 is a free new online collection. It's on our website now. Use as much as you need in print or online. Also, contribute your art and articles to Simple Living Works for it. Take a look at the guidelines. Send it in right away, electronically if possible. That's one thing that's nice about online publishing. It can be updated anytime. Secondly, a legacy Whose Birthday is scheduled for release as a Simple Living Works podcast series later this fall. It can also be used as text or audio. Its calendar matches the lectionary cycle C. Regular listeners may think, "Didn't we hear that last year?" Well, Alternative has produced over 25 editions, so this year's audio series is different from last year's. And thirdly, how about a do-it-yourself Whose Birthday? Yes, you can produce your own customized do-it-yourself Whose Birthday. You're welcome to assemble and copy a version that meets your local needs. All of our resources and service are now free of charge. And to do that, here are the four steps. First of all, create. Select the items most appropriate for your congregation or group, including graphics. Add some of your own original material if you choose. Numerous links for articles and art are given in the show notes. Secondly, produce it. Assemble the items in an attractive way using publishing software, probably already on your computer, for a paper version, or electronic software for an internet-based version, using PDFs of a paper version or a template for a newsletter version. Third, distribute it. Upload it to your website or hand out copies to your congregation or group at a worship service or meeting or by mail. Make additional copies available to share with friends and relatives. Do not sell for a profit under the Simple Living Works Creative Commons license. And fourthly, promote it. Tell people where it's available using social media and any other ways available to you. A newsletter, worship bulletin, posters, etc. Time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works podcast. If you're new to Simple Living Works and would like more basic information about us, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview, Backup, and choose the episodes you want, with or without show notes. Subscriptions to this podcast and to our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, through iTunes. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. Find details in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, then click About. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It's not a list of rules, not living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, "Live simply that others may simply live," as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the five life standards of Living More with Less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre, and I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The three parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can live.